Lord, for your blessings and for you saving us and giving us a home in heaven, and Lord, giving us a home down here. I pray that you just be with us now, Lord. Be with the special, Lord, in the preaching. Lord, thank you for these fellas that have, and men and women that have served in our armed forces, and as a result, has given us the freedoms that we now have that we're able to enjoy. Lord, help us to care for those freedoms. Help us to fight for those freedoms. Again, Lord, we thank you. Meet with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we're the only, Christians are the only ones that kick the wounded. Christians are the only ones that trample over the wounded. When I was in the Army, and I just thought of this, you probably, by the way, the song, and we didn't plan it like this, but the song goes so well with the message. When I was in the Army, we were in an exercise, training exercise, and I think I mentioned this story. I was the platoon leader, and you know, the commander said, "Hey, let's go, let's mount up. We got to go. We got to jump. We got to go to another location." And I told everybody, and I was that's what they call me, Top Blade. Well, that was afterward, but I was Mr. G.I. Joe. You know, I was, you know, you know. And I said, "Let's go. We got to go." And man, I pushed everybody out, and we went a click or another, a couple clicks. That's about 1,000 meters, a couple thousand meters down, and the commander says, "Okay, I need the radio." I says, "Wait, I need the radio. Who's got? Where's your RTO, your radio telegraph operator?" And I said, "I left him. I left him behind because he wasn't ready and he wasn't moving smartly, and I just left him behind." He said, "You did what?" He said, "You left him behind." He said, "Yes, son, I need a radio right now, and you left." And I quickly learned the lesson that you never, ever, ever leave anybody behind. And we tend to do that in Christianity. We tend to walk all over. We tend to kick them while they're down. You know, I wonder if that has something to do with the competition that we were talking about in Sunday school. Sad, but true. Joshua chapter 20. By the way, that's what we, I think the world calls it euthanasia. It's scary. Joshua chapter 20, and we're going to read several verses before we do that. Let's pray. Father, bless now this morning. Bless, Lord, the truth that we're about to hear the scriptures as we read them. Lord, just give us great service, and we'll thank you. We'll give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at verse number 1. Joshua 20, verse 1. Notice the Lord also spake unto Joshua. Now again, when Joshua and God were speaking, you couldn't go wrong. When Joshua and God were speaking, and God was speaking to Joshua, and Joshua was listening, and when Joshua would go to God and speak to him, everything worked out perfectly. And here the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, look at verse number 2, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for your cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. He says, notice, I've already told Moses, but I want to make sure that you understand. Speak to the children of Israel, and so you can appoint out for your cities of refuge. Look at verse number 3, that the slayer that killeth any person, notice the murder, one that kills any person, unawares, now that's important, unawares or unwittingly may flee thither, that they and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of the blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer unto his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, and unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjatharba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah, and on the other side of Jordan by Jericho eastward. They assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain, out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead, out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan, out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. What an interesting chapter here. And again, I have read it before. But here the Lord spake unto Joshua. And he was saying this. He said that you're going to need a place. You're going to need somewhere. You're going to need a city where people that have made a mistake can flee to. Somewhere where they can go. Look at verse number 2. Notice he says, appoint out for your cities of refuge. Look at verse number 3. That the slayer that killeth any person, that person that kills unawares or unwittingly, that means that accidentally, not on purpose. So that there will be a place of refuge from the avenger of the blood. They can go to the city of refuge from the avenger, get away from the avenger, get away from that person that wants to avenge he that was killed. And so now killing a person is pretty big, and I don't suggest you do that. A pretty huge mistake. But here the deal was, if it was done unwillingly, if it was an accident, and if he didn't hate him before, the Bible says in verse number 5, and hated him not before times. That means that it wasn't premeditated. They got into an argument, maybe into a fight, and accidentally somebody died. Maybe a fall, maybe they hit on the head and so forth. The person that accidentally killed the other could go to the city of refuge and dwell in that city until he stood before the congregation for judgment. And if he was found guilty, he would be put to death. If it was ruled an accident, then he could stay in that city of refuge until the death of the high priest, and then he could return home to the place where he came from. So the Lord said to Joshua, appoint out for your cities, of refuge. And choose you some city that they can be a city of refuge. They chose 6 of them, 3 cities on the side of on one side of Jordan, and the other 3 cities on the other side of Jordan. And that was important. Now, the word refuge there means literally a shelter or protection from danger or distress. So refuge is a place that the shelters or protects people from danger or from calamity. And they needed a place where they could come for protection and for shelter from the avenger, from that person that was avenging the death of someone else, until they could stand before the congregation, they could stand before trial. So a refugee would then be one who flees or flies to a shelter or a place of safety. One who in times of persecution, years and years ago we had refugees from Vietnam, refugees from Cuba, and people that had left because of persecution or because of political commotion, and they flee to a foreign country, and that's a refugee, is the one that flees and goes for shelter. Now these cities, that's what these cities were for. They were a city of refuge, a city where people could go and find shelter in time of need. Now go to Numbers, keep your finger there, we're going to come back to Joshua. But go to the book of Numbers 35, Numbers chapter 35. I want to shed a little bit more light on the cities of refuge. And then I'm going to give you, I think I've got 5 points or something like that. 5 just quick statements, and we'll go. Now maybe 4. Maybe 5. Actually 25. Just a few. Look at Numbers chapter 35. Look at verse number 9. Numbers 35 verse 9. Notice what the Bible says in verse, it's the 5th book of the Bible. You got table of contents, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Look at verse number 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you. Notice he says it again, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares, accidentally. Look at verse number 12. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, 6 cities shall ye have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side of Jordan. Three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both, notice, for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them. And everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. Now notice, this wasn't somebody that killed somebody premeditated or on purpose, and then for him to flee for safety, that wasn't the cause. It was for those that, for accidents and things that happened unawares and unwittingly. But notice a couple of things. If that person was found guilty, then he was put to death. In verse 16, it says that if he was struck with an instrument of iron, or he struck somebody with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. And the murderer shall surely be put to death. Verse 17, if he throwing a stone, again, verse 18, smite him with the weapon of wood. You with me? If they were murderers, they were put to death. Now, if it was something that happened accidentally, then okay, they could use the city of refuge. Look at verse number 18, smite him with a weapon of wood. Verse number 20, or if by hatred or laying of weight premeditated. Verse 21, or by enmity or hate. If he had enmity or hate. Look at verse 22. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without laying a weight, or with any stone, or wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And you know, I thought, you know what, an interesting place. And I thought, you know, City of Refuge, what a great place. Not ideally for the troubles, but for the troubled. A great place for the dust to settle, for allow the tensions to die down. A great place for calm and disarming of tensions and situation. A place to get to the bottom of things before things get worse and before things escalate. And where those that unwittingly done damage, those that not on purpose and not premeditated had done damage, could go for the dust to settle, for the accusations to subside, and for the truth and justice to surface. And not only that, look at verse 15. The Bible says that these cities were not only for the children of Israel, but notice, for the stranger. For the stranger, that means for those that weren't Israelites, for those that were maybe a guest or maybe part of the mixed multitudes or maybe a foreigner. But not only for the children of Israel or for the stranger, but also for the sojourner, a dweller or a temporary resident, somebody that was coming through, or somebody that would only show up for a short time. And so it didn't just apply to their people, but to strangers and sojourners. And here's my thought. And I thought, you know what, a city of refuge, what a great place this would be if somebody had done something accidentally, you know, before the wrath of the avenger, or before vengeance could be taken, they could run to, they could go to, and let the dust settle, and let the tensions decrease, and let the emotion settle down before judgment was taking place, and allow him to go before the congregation, before the people, to for the truth to surface. And I thought, you know, I thought of this, you know, and I thought this, you know, I thought our church ought to be a place of refuge. You know, our church ought to be a place where people can come in and receive shelter and receive protection from the outside, and receive protection from the world, and shelter from the enemy, certainly a shelter from the devil, even though sometimes the devil shows up in churches. And he uses situations, and he uses people, and he uses many different things. But I thought, you know, the church ought to be a place of refuge, a place of shelter, where people can come in even from the accuser of the brethren, the devil himself. Our church ought to be a place where people can come in and find refuge, where they can come in and find shelter and find protection. You know, when visitors come in, and we've got some visitors, and of course, family, but even when we get visitors that from our neighborhoods and from our area here, you know, they ought to come into this church and they ought to feel at home. They ought to be, you know, we ought to be friendly to them. We ought to be courteous and polite to them. They ought to feel unjudged when they come in through those doors. Good night, that's what the world does out there. Man, and they're coming into a church, and a church ought to be a place of refuge, a place of shelter, and from the outside and from the world. And they ought to feel unjudged when they come in. You know, we're not the judge. I mentioned in Sunday school, you know, we have no business judging people because we don't know. We can't judge something that we don't know. And because we don't know the inside and we don't know the heart, we've got no business judging. We're not qualified to judge them. But they ought not to feel intimidated by the religious crowd. They ought not to feel intimidated by those that, you know, that carry the Bible and know what to say and know how to act and know how to dress. They ought not to be feel intimidated. This church ought to be a refuge and a shelter, place of safety. I thought of some of our bus kids that come and they ought to feel welcome. And if you've ever visited some of their homes and some of their situations and in my soul, you would understand that, you know what, they need a place of refuge. They need a place where they can come, a place of shelter where they can come and get away from the world and get away from life, maybe just for a little bit. And it's a great place for them. And let me say this. I mean, we've got them here. We've got some of our young people in church this morning. But, you know, we want you here. We want you to come in. We want you to. But listen, you've got to behave. And you've got to obey. And you've got to pay attention. Why? Because we can't have. If we let chaos run wild, then guess what? It won't be a shelter anymore. It won't be a refuge anymore. It won't be a place where we can come and we can just sigh and let our air out and just relax. It's a shelter. It's not a right to come to church. It's a privilege, and it shouldn't be taken lightly. I thought, you know, sometimes we'll have adults, if adults come in and they misbehave, you know, we've got to ask them to leave. And likewise with the children. We'll try to accommodate it. We want this church to be a refuge for them. But if they can't behave, then they can't stay. Why? Because we don't want this refuge and this shelter to be ruined for somebody else. And I thought, you know, church, what a great place, what a great place of refuge that we can come to, that we can just relax for a little bit and just enjoy the music, enjoy the singing, enjoy the message, and we ought to cherish that for visitors that come in. It's a place of refuge. Not only that, and I thought, you know what, our homes, you know, your home should be a refuge for your family. Your home should be a place of shelter, place of protection. A place where your children can come to you and talk to you and they can rest with you. And not be worried about judgment or vengeance. You know, sometimes we're so quick to judge and we're so quick to make judgment that, you know what, sometimes even our own children are afraid to come to us with matters of, hey, if they don't come to us, who are they going to come to? If they don't come to the city of refuge or they don't come to the home of refuge, where are they going to go? You see, ladies, your home ought to be a sanctuary. It ought to be a city of refuge for your family, for your children, and for your husband. It should not be a battlefield. It shouldn't be a stress zone. It shouldn't be a circus. It shouldn't be a garage. It ought to be a refuge, a place of refuge, a place of peace, a place of serenity, a place, you know, where your husband can come home from work or come home from doing jobs or whatever and just relax and just enjoy, and where he can get a home cooked meal, amen. Ribeyes and potatoes and you with him at least 3-4 times a week. Have a dessert, and I'm glad some of you are awake now. I said your home ought to be a refuge, not Burger King or Super King Buffet, but close to it. But our home ought to be a city of refuge. Our church ought to be a city. You with me? A city of refuge. And you know what? People ought to come in here, and if somebody comes in dressed differently, we ought not be. So what? You see what she's wearing, or you see what he's? They're coming for refuge. They're coming for shelter. And, you know, our homes are the same way. Our homes ought to be. I hope your house is a place where children want to come and children want to play. And so we ought to have, our church ought to be a place of refuge. Our homes ought to be a place of refuge for our family and shelter in a time of storm and a place where we can find refuge from the outside. And thirdly, I thought of this. I thought, you know what? You and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, should be a shelter for others. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we ought to be a shelter for one another. You know, we ought to be a shelter for our bus kids and shelters for our children. You that work in the nursery ought to be a shelter for your those students in your Sunday school class and junior church. A place where they can come to you, a place where brothers and sisters can come to you and confide in you, and a shoulder to cry on, a place where you can go for help, a place where you can go for refuge, a place where you can go to talk to someone and find a friend in someone and confide in someone. When people come to you, do you stop and listen? You know, do you provide a shelter for those that come your way? Do you lend them an ear? Do you lend them a hand? And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we ought to be little cities of refuge for one another. That we're able to, that people are able to come to us. And before you judge me, then realize I'm the pastor. There's, you know, it's 80, 90 people here. You know, it's kind of hard for me to be a city of refuge for everybody. You with me? We would never be able to start the service. But you know what? I can be a city of refuge for some. And you can be a city of refuge for some. And we ought to be little shelters where people can confide, and they come and they can find a shelter and relief and from the world and from the things of the world, where they can come to you without you being judgmental. You with me? If somebody came came with a problem to me, and the first thing, the minute that they said the problem, I'd jump in and say, I tell you what's wrong, and you're doing this. Nobody would ever come to me. I need to be a city of refuge, a city of help and shelter, and that's the message this morning. Joshua, the Lord told Joshua, you're going to need a place, and you're going to need somewhere. You're going to need a city or cities where people that have made mistake can flee to, can come to. And I said, you know what? That's like a church, a place where people that have made mistake can come in and they can find shelter and they can find rest and they can find peace and at least enough time for the dust to settle, for things, for the truth to be able to surface, because sometimes we're so quick. And I thought of this: not only should our church, but our home should be a place of refuge for our family. You, as brothers and sisters in Christ, ought to be a shelter for each other. And I ask you this morning: are you a city of refuge for others? Is your home a city of refuge? Is do you make this church a place of refuge here? What kind of refuge are you? Can people come to you for shelter? Can people come to you for protection? Can people come to you for refuge? Or do they go somewhere else? You know, where do your children go to? Where does your family go to? The students in the class, where do they go to if they need help, or if they need a place of refuge or a place of shelter? When visitors come your way and they come in through the door, do we welcome them? Do we allow them to come to this wonderful place of refuge here? Or do they have to go somewhere else for shelter? Are you a city of refuge, or are you an avenger? Those that come after those that have made mistakes, and without all the evidence, you try to get vengeance or you try to get justice, and you don't know the whole story. You don't know the whole situation. You know, I thought about this. You know, heaven will be our refuge one day. And boy, what a wonderful place that'll be. Look at Revelations 21 quickly. Revelations 21. Our church ought to be a refuge. Our homes ought to be a refuge for our family. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we ought to be little shelters for one another. One day we'll be in heaven, and heaven will be our refuge. One day there's going to be no evil, no enemy. Heaven will be the ultimate refuge. Look at Revelation 21. Look at verse number 1. And I saw new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Look at verse number 4. Notice what it says. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And I thought, you know, man, what a great place of refuge. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Look at verse number 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burnt, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And I thought, you know, what a great place. A place of refuge. Heaven will be our refuge. Heaven will be our ultimate refuge. No accuser, no sin, no hatred, no hurt, no pain, no murderers, and no whoremongers, no sorcerers, none of these. In heaven, there will be no need for a refuge cities, because heaven will be the ultimate refuge city. The ultimate protector is there, the Lord himself. And cities of refuge. Hey, is this church a city of refuge? Is your home a city of refuge? Is the brothers and sisters in Christ the small cities of refuge where one can go to another and find rest and shelter and help? Heaven will be our refuge one day. It will be our ultimate refuge. But until then, last but not least, the Lord will be our refuge while we're here. Don't miss that. The Lord will be our refuge while we're here. And if church isn't enough, and if you don't find refuge in church, and you don't find refuge in home, at the home, and if you don't find refuge with other Christians, I promise you this, you'll find refuge with the Lord. You'll find shelter in the Lord. Look at Psalm 91 quickly, Psalm 91. If church, the refuge at church is not enough, if the shelter at home is not enough, if brothers and sisters in Christ do not provide the refuge that you need or the shelter that you need, you know what? The Lord Jesus will, and the Lord himself will. Until heaven, we can rest that the Lord is our refuge. Look at Psalm 91. Look at verse number 1 quickly. And I'm going to read real fast just so you can get it real quick. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my what? Refuge. I will say of the Lord, the psalmist said, you know what? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You'll be right there under the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of the pestilence. Why? Because he's a city of refuge. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, you see it again, even the Most High thy habitation, thy refuge, thy city of refuge, thy place, thy shelter. Verse number 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder and the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hey, guess what? The Lord is my refuge. That is a good psalm. The Lord is my refuge; I shall not fear. And heaven's a wonderful refuge, and it's going to be the ultimate refuge. But until then, we've got the church that we can go to for refuge and for shelter, and we've got our homes that we can go for shelter and for refuge. We've got each other that we can go to and find refuge in one another. And if that isn't enough, then we've got the Lord that we can go to, who is my refuge. Listen, you can find refuge in this church, but this church may be a city of refuge for you, but maybe not enough. Your family, your homes may be a city of refuge, but maybe not enough. Brothers and sisters in Christ may be a refuge for you, but not enough. And if they fail, I have no doubt that the Lord won't fail. He'll be your refuge and a very present help. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I'll be done with this, and I was going to read it, but for the sake of time, we won't. But, you know, one day there will come a time when you will stand before the congregation, just like they had to stand before the congregation and before the accuser in Joshua. And one day you'll get to give your side of the story. One day you'll stand before God. The Bible says, Romans chapter 14. Let me just read to you. He said, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to get our opportunity to give our side of the story. And it goes on to say that, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We're going to stand before God, and we're going to stand before the congregation, and they're going to get to hear us and hear our testimony and give our side of the story, just like in Joshua's day. But until then, guess what? Let us have this church to be a refuge for those. Help us, our homes, to be a refuge for our children and our family. Help us to be brothers and sisters in Christ, little cities of refuge where we can come and find shelter. And help us to help us not to be the avengers and the accuser of the brethren, for we all shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In the meantime, isn't it great that we have a place that we can stand, that we can that you can stand in refuge and stand in shelter? And that doesn't mean that you're innocent. That doesn't mean that it just means that you won't be judged unfairly, or that your actions won't be taken against you unfairly. Why? Because you're in a place of refuge. Hey, let's make this church a place of refuge. Let's make your homes, ladies and fellows, let's make our homes a place of refuge. Let's decide that, you know what, that we're going to be, if somebody comes to us for help, that we're going to try to be a city of refuge for them. And always look into heaven, that'll be the ultimate refuge. And if we can't find enough refuge, we will always find enough refuge in the Lord, because he is our refuge, our present, very present help. Are you a refuge this morning? Are you a small city of refuge? Or are you part of an accuser? Are you the avenger? You know, let's decide that we're going to be, and we're going to make this church a city of refuge. Father, I pray that you bless this morning. Lord, help us to realize the importance, Lord, of just being a present help to people. Help us make this church what it ought to be, Lord, a little city of refuge here in the Richmond area, where people can come that have maybe made mistakes and maybe done wrong, maybe unintentionally, maybe, you know, not knowing the whole situation, where they can come and they can find rest and they can find shelter and they can let the dust settle and they can let the passions decrease and the tensions to decrease. Lord, where we can be a help and a present help to those that come, it'd be great if this church became just a small city of refuge. It'd be great if our homes were likewise for our children and our families, where we can come and just be a place of refuge for us. And then, Lord, certainly ourselves, when dealing with brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can be a small city of refuge to others. Lord, heaven, what a wonderful place that'll be. It'll be the ultimate place of refuge. We won't need cities of refuge, because it itself will be a refuge. And Lord, but in the meantime, we can trust in those places of shelter, places of refuge that you've given us, and specifically and especially with the Lord himself being our refuge. Bless this morning, Lord. Work in our hearts. Give us what we need, I beg you. I plead with you in Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Oh, my friend, if you're here struggling this morning and you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, I promise you, he's a great place of refuge. He's a great place where you can come, where you can go to and just find rest and find shelter for your life and for your heart. And he won't judge you, though he knows everything. He'll just try to be a present help. And so if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ, you come. If you're here this morning and you feel that you need to come and do business with God and maybe to make your home more of a shelter, more of a refuge for your family, you come. Maybe it's that you need to come and help this church be more of a refuge, more of a help, a shelter. You come this morning. Whatever it may be, you decide to come this morning, and the Lord will work. Father, bless the invitation, Lord. If there's one that's not saved this morning, may they come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And Lord, others, Christians, help us to be the city refuge that we need to be for others. Bless and work an invitation now, Lord, in Jesus' name.